by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani channel, it's a rise and shine. Today the topic of the day, the topic of the day today is something that, well, it's a personality, it's an individual, it's a personality, but it's someone that the name we've heard so often. We keep on, you know, so many times we hear this name. We've heard it, the Imam Sahib has mentioned it so many times on the Friday Khutbah. Whenever we listen to a speech, we hear this name is constantly mentioned. But do we know anything about this person? Who is this person? Without doubt, everybody will have heard the name. But do we know anything about this individual? Before I introduce who this person is, let's listen to a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak and then the Talawat of the Holy Quran. With regards to the blessing of Durood-e Pak, it's been recited, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that recite Salat upon me wherever you are, Allahu Akbar, as your Salat will reach me. So when you recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherever you are, that Durood-e Pak will reach the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please, as we keep on saying, get into a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And who knows, my dear viewers of Madani channel, that one extra Durood-e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. As you know, viewers of Madani channel, that whenever you watch Rise and Shine, at the beginning of Rise and Shine, we also are blessed with listening to a few verses of the Holy Quran. So let's listen to a few verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Viewers of Madani channel, what a brilliant way to start our day by listening to some beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. And if only we can make a habit of listening to the Quran or reading the Quran every single day of our lives, inshallah azawajal. Viewers of the channel, what are we going to talk about today? Today we're going to talk about a great muhaddis. Now, what is a muhaddis? That's the first thing that we need to know, isn't it? The muhaddis, a muhaddis. A muhaddis is someone who remains engaged and occupied in the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is called a muhaddis. And there are many, many muhaddis. So that's not really giving you a great clue, is it? It's not really, because a lot of scholars today are also called muhaddis because they are involved in teaching the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they're engaged in studying it. But one of the probably the greatest muhaddis that there has ever been is the muhaddis that we're going to talk about today. And this muhaddis is a person that was born in the month of Shahbal. And we're talking about none other than the great Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala. That he was the person that we hear this name, we hear Bukhari. Every day we hear it. The Imams have said the Bukhari, in Bukhari it is this, in Bukhari it is this. And we all learn from this. You know, some young kids, when we were young children, we used to go to the masjid and the Imam Sahib used to say, oh, in Bukhari it says this and in Bukhari it says that. So we think that, okay, Bukhari is the name of a book. Yeah, we didn't know anything else. And so as far as we were concerned, it was just a name of a book. But inshallah, we're going to learn a little bit about his life, a few parables of his life, how he acquired this passion for learning, his childhood, inshallah, and hopefully we can benefit from it as well. Because I keep on saying, this is our rich heritage, this is our history. As Muslims, we have this rich heritage that we need to know about these great personalities so we can have our role models in our society. But viewers of the channel, those of you that watch Arise and Shine also know that after the Talawat of the Quran, we have the Daily Kalam. So inshallah, we're now going to go to the Daily Kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Salli ala Nabi Jina. Salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Shafi'ina. Salli ala Muhammad. Salli ala Nabi. Don't جانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے حرم کی زمین قدم رکھ کے موقع ہے او جانے والے ارے سر کا موقع ہے او جانے والے میرا دل بھی جم کا دے جم کانے والے میرا دل بھی جم کا دے والے مدینے کے خطے خدا تجھ کو رکھے مدینے کے خطے خدا تجھ کو رکھے غریبوں فقیروں کے والے غریبوں فقیروں کے ٹھہرانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے عالم سے چھپ جانے والے میرے چشمے عالم سے چھپ جانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتیں گے سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی جنگ کا دے چمکانے والے رضا نام سے دشمن گے دم میں نا رضا نام سے دشمن گے دم میں نا کہا تم نے دے والے کہاں تم نے دیکھیں گے چندرانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتیں گے سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. بیوٹیفل کلام, بیوٹیفل کلام. میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے. اللہ اکبر, اللہ اکبر. And in that he mentions, Allah Hazrat mentions, the Zinda hai wallah, without doubt. And he makes a promise on Allah Azza wa Jalla that you are alive, you are alive. But my eyes are not capable of seeing this. Allahu Akbar. And again, these kalams that we listen to, Views of Mother Channel, they are there to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. And you know, without that love, then your iman is not there. And we know that it's such an important branch of our iman to have that love. And so that's why the scholars of the past and even the scholars of today are writing these kalams, so that we can instill the love inside us. We recite them in gatherings, recite them in front of our children. Our children learn them, our children listen to them, our children try to understand them. And as a result of that, the belief inside our hearts, the love in our hearts increases, inshallah. And that was another beautiful example there of a kalam, of how we can instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam in our hearts. But today, viewers of the channel, we're going to talk about an individual that collected the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to this very day we are benefiting for him. But just to give a little bit of a background to the lineage and the birth of this great personality, the famous muhaddith Sayyidina Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was born in the famous city of Bukhara on the 13th of Shawwal 194 al-Hijri, on the Friday after Salat al-Asr. His name is Muhammad and his kunya is Abu Abdullah. His lineage is as follows: Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin Mughira. The great grandfather of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala was a farmer and worshipped other than Allah Azza wa Jal. However, he embraced Islam later on the hands of the ruler of Bukhara. Sayyidina Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala had an age of around 62 years, and he passed away on the 1st of Shawwal 256 al-Hijri in the night of Eid al-Fitr in the state of illness. And his blessed shrine is situated on Khartank, a town situated a little distance from Samarkand in Uzbekistan. Allahu Akbar. So again, isn't it amazing that the Deen of Islam by this time had spread so far that these great people had come by? And he was named, you know, he was a great muhaddith because he studied the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to talk about that a little bit soon, inshallah. But just for his passion, he also had a great passion of ibadat as well, which is again something that when you look at the pious predecessors, that they loved to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. It wasn't something that they thought, oh, you know, we're busy studying, we're busy doing this, we're busy doing that, we don't have to have this great passion and that we can spend our time doing. Even those people, they had this great passion to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it stated that once he was invited by his students to a certain place, and there they performed the Salat al-Zuhr. And after the Salat al-Zuhr, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala, he lifted up his kameez and he said to the people, what do you see? So his students, what they saw? And they saw that there was a poisonous insect that had bitten him approximately 17 or 18 times. Yeah. And the students said to him, when you felt that first bite, why didn't you break your namaz? Why didn't you break your namaz and push it off and, you know, break your namaz and start your namaz later? And Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala said, I started reciting a surah of the Quran, and I wished and I wanted to be able to complete that surah, and that's why I did not break my namaz. Allahu Akbar. That great passion that these people had for the learning, for the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And today, nowadays, you know, how easily are we distracted during our namaz? During our namaz, anything happens, and you know, we're even to the extent that someone pips a horn and we listen, or someone walks into the room, we're reading our namaz and someone says assalamu alaikum and we look. You know, we're not concentrating on our namaz. And you know, these sort of things, if we're not careful, they can break our namaz as well. So we need to be very conscious of this. But the scholars of the past, even when they were injured, they were bitten, they had stab wounds, whatever they had, they continued doing their ibadat and nothing distracted that from them. And nowadays we are distracted very, very easily. Not only in our ibadat, but also distracted in our deen as well. You know, we can be on the right path for a while, but something will distract us. Something will take us off that path very, very easily. You know, we're going towards the ijtima, we've made an intention to go towards the ijtima, and one little phone call, one little message, one little thing that we see, and we think, oh, okay, we'll go there instead. And these distractions are very easily. And again, we need to, you know, in our lives, viewers of Mali Channel, we need to focus ourselves a little bit more. Focus ourselves and discipline ourselves so that we can live our life as true Muslims. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he has been given titles such as Hafizul Hadith, Muhaddith, Mufti, Hibrul Islam, etc. He had many, many titles people have given. And he had a lot of teachers as well. He used to search for teachers so that people could, he had this thirst for knowledge that he was looking constantly on the lookout for somebody that could teach him something. He never thought that I know enough, and he was constantly on the lookout. And he said that Imam Bukhari had 1,080 teachers, not students, teachers. The teachers who he learned from, 1,080 teachers, Allahu Akbar. Just think about that, viewers of Mali Channel. That he had this thirst of knowledge, that he was constantly on the look of students. And it said that Ala Hazrat states that when Sayyidina Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi ta'ala passed away, he left behind, Listen to this, viewers of Malicham. He left behind 90,000 muhaddis. Not just 90,000 normal students, 90,000 muhaddis students, those who had the knowledge of the hadith. This is what a great personality he was, what a great scholar of his time he was. And even to today, we hear the name Imam Bukhari. Bukhari. You know what the Imam Sahib says, in Bukhari it states this, in Bukhari it states that. Yes, what is this? This is the collection of the hadith that Imam Bukhari collated together and put in his book, Sahih Bukhari, the hadith book that he collated. The blessed father of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, was also a great scholar. And he used to stay in the company of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's teacher, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. And he was a narrator and the one who possessed the knowledge of the hadith. He narrated from Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak, Sayyidina Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala, and the students and those who possessed the knowledge of hadith in the era. His du'as were immensely accepted, to the extent that he would humbly present his plea in the divine court of Allah Azza wa Jal, saying that, "Do not accept all my du'as in this world, leave some for the hereafter." Allahu Akbar. He was so firm on consuming halal that let alone anything, something haram, he would even abstain from suspicious things, to the extent that at the time of his apparent demise, he, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, said, "Whatever wealth I possess, not even a single dirham is of suspicious income." Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, just reflect for a second. If we look at our wealth, our income, can we make that statement that none of our wealth has come from a suspicious income? And you'll be thinking, what is a suspicious income? Do we even know what a suspicious income is? Yes, viewers of Mother Channel, there is such a thing as a halal income and a haram income. Yes, your income, even though it looks the same, yeah? That pound note, that dollar bill, that rand, whatever it is, that euro, it looks the same, but it can be halal or haram. I'm not saying that it's from the paper. I'm saying the way you earn that money, the way that earn that money can be halal or can be haram. Do you ever think about your income? Do you ever think about where you're getting your money from? That is my money that I am earning from a halal income, from a halal source. You know, if your source of your income is not halal, then your income is also not halal. And then the food that you consume with that has a detrimental effect upon you as well. So viewers of Mother Channel, we need to reflect as well. Where is our income coming? What is our job? What is our source of income? What is our business? And if you have any doubt, what does it take? One phone call to Darul Iftar, one phone call to a reputable scholar, ask him, "This is what am I doing?" And then he might say, "Well, obviously that's halal." But okay, if he says obviously it's halal, what are you worried about? Then tige, you've got nothing to worry about. But can we not afford to make that one phone call? You know, nowadays we all have these mobile phones and we have, you know, unlimited minutes on them, unlimited calls on them. Make that one phone call. Make that one phone call to a reputable scholar and say, "This is my income. This is where I'm getting my income. And this is where I've got my income. Is it okay?" Yeah. And if he says it's suspicious, or if he says it's haram, then it's time for you to make a change as soon as possible. Coming back to the life and the events of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, it says that Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, was still very young when his blessed father, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, passed away. And therefore, his mother took over all of the responsibilities of bringing him up. In the childhood, Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he lost his eyesight. Yes, he lost his eyesight. He was blind in his childhood. And due to this agony, the blessed mother would weep and supplicate. She would do dua regularly, implore. She would implore in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla to restore her son's eyesight. And one night her fortune shone that while she was asleep and in her dream, she saw that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had come and he said to her, "You kept supplicating, you kept doing dua for the eyesight of your son to be restored. Congratulations, as your dua has been accepted. Allah Azza wa Jal has restored the eyesight of your son." Allahu Akbar. In the morning, she saw that the eyesight of Sayyidina Imam Bukhari Ramatullah Ta'ala had been restored. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, the dua of a mother, the dua of a mother. It was a mother's dua that restored the eyesight of Imam Bukhari Ramatullah Ta'ala. And you know, Islam gives great status to the status of the mothers, yeah? And the mother, you know, we're told that the mother's feet are the doors of paradise. And if only we can learn to respect and get the du'as of our mothers. successful is here, viewers of the channel. That person is very, very successful in this dunya and in the akhirat, who's fortunate enough to get the du'as of their parents. You know, I've seen many, many people that, you know, for some reason, you look at them and you think that, you know, they don't seem to, don't appear to, obviously we don't know everything, they don't appear to face any difficulties or any problems. And when you look into it and you find out that this person, he looked after his parents, he made his mother happy, he made his father happy, and his mother and father did du'a for them. And as a result of them du'as, the du'as of the parents, the happiness of the parents, they are successful in this dunya, and inshaAllah azawajal, they'll be successful in the hereafter as well. And viewers of the channel, it's something for us to reflect. That, you know, what do we even give our parents any time? Do we care about them? Do we worry about them? Do we look after them? Or unfortunately, in some cases, do our parents become a burden for us? You know, it was a couple of weeks ago that we had Dr. Khurram, I think, was on Madrid channel with us, and he mentioned that he was talking with another doctor, and he said this doctor was earning a salary of approximately £150,000 a year, and his mother was suffering from arthritis. And the doctor said to him that, you know, alhamdulillah, nowadays there are good cures for arthritis, that a person can live a normal life, you know, by having these medicine. And so, you know, you've got nothing to worry about. And this head doctor, who was on a salary of £150,000, he turned around and said, oh, I don't know. I just think my mum's eating my inheritance. Astaghfirullah. That the longer my mother lives, the less money I will have when she dies. Is this what our parents have become? A paycheck? Are we all waiting for our parents to die so that we can, when my dad dies, then I'll get a 1/4 share, I'll get 1/5 share, I'll get 1/2 share, I'll get this, I'll get that, and with that I'll be able to do this and do this. And you are already planning, viewers of the channel, is that what you're doing? Are you already planning how to use the inheritance of your parents before they've even passed away? Shame on you if that's what you're doing. Shame on you if that's what you're doing, that you're already planning for your parents' death, that you're planning on what to do with that inheritance. And again, I remember an instance where the brothers went to someone's house to seek, you know, to console him that his father had passed away. And they went to his house to console him that, you know, we are very, very sorry that your father has passed away. And he turned around and he said, why are you sorry? My father only left me £63,000. Views of Mother Channel, is this what we've become? Is this what we've become? But at the same time, there's a flip side to this, Views of Mother Channel. That if our children look up to our parents as just being a paycheck, if our children just look up to our parents as just being something that provides money, then maybe we have created that image in our children. Maybe when our children were younger, the only thing that we give to our children was money. We bought them the best trainers, we bought them the best jackets, we bought them the best BC tablets, we bought them the best games, we bought them a car when they were old enough to drive, we spent money on them to have a wedding, but we were never there to give them what they needed, either time. So all their life, what was mum and dad? The mother and father, what were they? There were things that bought them, that give them financial things, they didn't give them anything else. And so when that child starts to think like that, then maybe it's also our fault as parents. That maybe we put that thought pattern into our children, that our children are thinking like that. That all their lives, all we've done is provide for them financially. But we've not provided for them spiritually. We've not sat down with them and taught them and spent time with them, become close to them, become their friends, know what their likes are, know what their dislikes are, know what their friends are, know where they're going, when they're coming, what they're doing. Take an interest in their lives, take an interest in their studies. Support them, encourage them. Whenever they have problems, I pray that that household is there where a child, if he has a problem, he can come to his mother, he can come to his father and say, Dad, I've got this problem, please help me. But do we have that relationship in our households? Does that mother have that knowledge where she can do the dua for the children? Or does the mother just think to herself, well, my job is to clean the clothes, my job is to wash up, yeah, and in some household, my job is also to go and make a second income as well so we can run the household. That's my job done. And the father thinks, my job is to work 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, to make as much money, build a nice house, my job done. Take it, that is part of your job. But at the same time, our children need our time. Our children need that tarbiyah, that training, that upbringing, that spiritual upbringing. And if that upbringing is there, where that mother does the dua for the child, Ya Allah, make my child a scholar. Ya Allah, make my child pious. And sincerely does it and brings her child from a young age, that household where the children taught du'as, taught recite kalma, taught to read namaz. You know, we heard Allah Hazrat from a young age. You know, by the age of 4.5, he completed the Quran. By the age of 6, he was able to deliver a lecture. Yes, without doubt, that was God-given quality. Lekin, at the same time, the environment that that child was in. And what environment are our children in? Will that time come where our children are just looking at our bank balance? Will our children be just looking, oh, well, he's got that property, okay. And I've got one brother, one sister, so that means I'll have that and I'll have that. Is that what's happening? Is that what is happening? Or, you know, when we bring up our children, we bring them up in such a way that they respect us, they look after us. And again, there's so many flip sides to this. How are you looking after your parents? If you're not looking after your parents, how can you expect your children to look after you? If you don't respect your elders, how can you expect your children to respect you as well? Our viewers of Money Channel, the dua of your parents is so important. And we saw from the dua of the mother of Imam Bukhari that she sincerely did dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it was not any medical science, it was not any operation, it was not any the best hospital in the world that restored the eyesight of Imam Bukhari. It was the dua of the mother that restored the eyesight. And that is the power of dua and the power of the dua of the mother. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, if only please think and reflect upon yourself and reflect on your house. Look around yourself and think, what is my household like? Is my household that kind of a household where we will do dua for each other? Is my household that kind of a household where we will try and live our life of piety, live our life according to the Quran and Sunnah? Is my household that when I get old and weak, do I have, you know, inside me, do I have a hope that my children will look after me? Something that we all need to reflect upon, viewers of Money Channel. Allahu Akbar. Sorry again, once again, I've gone off track from the main topic. May Allah forgive me. But I think, you know, when we listen to these pious predecessors and listen from their lives, and I've said it before, that whenever we hear the stories of these people, they shouldn't be just stories. They shouldn't be just stories that think, oh, this is a nice story, isn't it? That, oh, Imam Bukhari's mother did dua and he got his eyes started. MashaAllah, amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Yes, it is amazing. Yes, it is a good story. Yes, it is a nice story to tell our children. But at the same time, viewers of Mother Channel, what do we learn from these stories? What are the madni pearls that we learn from these stories? How can we benefit from these stories? Why did I tell you this story? So that you think, oh, wow, it's a nice story. No. I told you this story so that we can learn something from it. Learn about that pious home and try and make our home a home of piety. Try to make our home a home of taqwa. Try to make our home a home that lives according to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, we did the daily reminder, a reminder every day. So inshallah, now we're going to go to the daily reminder. And again, these daily reminders, what are they there? They're there to make us think, to make us reflect, and hopefully to make those necessary changes that we need in our life, so that we can improve not only our hereafter but also our dunya as well. Let's go to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our daily reminder. And today, inshallah, we're going to be reading out a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that, be conscious of Allah wherever you are. Follow the bad deed with a good one to erase it and engage others with beautiful character. Subhanallah. So a few things the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in this hadith. Number one is, be conscious of Allah azza wa jal wherever you are. Wherever you are, always think that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over you. And no doubt Allah Azza wa Jal is watching over us. And we need to think and we need to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching us. So before we do anything wrong, before we commit a sin, always stop and think to yourself that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching me. A person once came to a Buzurg Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, a very pious person. And he said to him, that I've got this habit of committing sins. Can you help me? And can you give me any nasihat? And the pious person, he said to him that whenever you commit a sin, leave the land of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the person replied that, how can I do that? That's impossible. Wherever I go, it is the land of Allah Azza wa Jal. I cannot get away from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the pious person then said, then why do you not stop sinning? If you cannot leave the land of Allah, why do you not stop sinning? So it's very important that we think to ourselves, we are always conscious that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching us. And then that person, inshallah Azza wa Jal, he will not commit a sin. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, follow the bad deed with a good one to erase it. So anytime we do anything wrong, we are humans, we are insan, you know, we will commit sins. But whenever that happens, always repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do tawbah, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O believer, repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Tawbatan nasuha. This tawbah that we will never return back to that sin again. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, once we did that tawbah with tawbatun nasuha, we will not go back to that sin again. And then the other part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that do something good to erase that sin that you have done. Whatever we've done wrong, do something good that will erase that. A buzurg rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, once he wore his shoes, and instead of wearing his right shoe in first, he put his left shoe. Now this wasn't even a sin, it's just not a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, to put your left shoe in first. So he thought to himself that why did I even, you know, put my left shoe in first? And because of that, he kept fast for one whole year. Now that is what you call being conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. That on the day of judgment, my beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he will ask me about this. And then what did he do? He fasted for 1 year. Now think to yourself, when we commit a sin, do we do anything good after that sin? Or do we just, you know, say to ourselves, it's alright, I won't do it again. And then we end up doing them things again. The other thing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and engage others with beautiful character. Your akhlaq is everything. Let's look at yourself. Yeah, I look at myself, you look at yourself. How is my character? Is my character that people will come to me and people will love me for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal? Or is my character such that people, instead of loving me, they will run away from me? If that is the case, you know, I swear, ma'azallah, I lie, I backbite, I'm jealous of other people, you know, I tell tales, you know, I do so many bad things. If that is the case, then beautify your character. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, when you engage with others, when you talk to someone, when you are with someone, then make yourself a character, a good character. Now this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the hadith pak was very short, but such a beautiful message that is inside this hadith. May Allah Azza wa Jal reward us all, and may Allah Azza wa Jal make us all pious and punctual Muslims. And alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, one of the ways that we become pious is that we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow the way of the pious people, the righteous people. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be successful in this world and will be successful in the hereafter. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some great words there from our Balik in the UK, Hafiz Rifaqat Atari. May Allah Azza Jal reward him, about how we should live our lives and reflect that, you know, how are we living our lives and what sins are we committing and where can we go? Where can we possibly go to hide ourselves